Buddha, or Buddha Gautama, also known as Shakyamuni Buddha, was a great spiritual master from ancient India. Born as Prince Siddhartha Gautama in 5th century BC, he would have naturally inherited the vast wealth of a kingdom. However, the prince one day left the palace life in search of spiritual knowledge. After years of contemplative seeking, the Buddha attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. He then shared the merits of his practice by providing a method for other sentient beings to be freed from the cycle of death and rebirth. The rich treasury of Buddha's spiritual teachings on universal truth are studied and revered to this day for their deep wisdom and compassion. Today, we would like to share with you the sage teachings of the Buddha in the Holy Tipitaka, excerpted from the Bhayabharava Sutta. Fear and terror.
I have heard on one occasion the Blessed One was staying near Savatthi at Jetter's Cove, Anuttapindika's monastery. Then Janasonan, the Brahmin, member of a cultural and social elite, went to the Blessed One and on arrival exchanged courteous greetings with him. After an exchange of friendly greetings and courtesies, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "Master Gautama, the sons of good families have gone forth from the home life into homelessness, out of conviction in Master Gautama. Is Master Gautama their leader? Is Master Gautama their helper? Is Master Gautama their inspirer? Do they take Master Gautama as their example?"
"Yes, Brahman, so it is. The sons of good families who have gone forth from the home life into homelessness out of conviction in me, I am their leader. I am their helper. I am their inspirer. They take me as their example. But Master Gautama, it's not easy to endure isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. It's not easy to maintain seclusion, not easy to enjoy being alone. The forests, as it were, plunder the mind of a monk who has not attained concentration."
"Yes, Brahman, so it is. It's not easy to endure isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. It's not easy to maintain seclusion, not easy to enjoy being alone. The forest, as it were, plunder the mind of a monk who has not attained concentration. Before my awakening, when I was still an unawakened bodhisattva, or a spiritual practitioner, the thought occurred to me as well. It's not easy to maintain seclusion, not easy to enjoy being alone. The forest, as it were, plunder the mind of a monk who has not attained concentration."
"The thought occurred to me, when priests or contemplatives who are unpurified in their bodily activities resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings, it's the fault of their unpurified bodily activities that they give rise to unskillful fear and terror. But it's not the case that I am unpurified in my bodily activities when I resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. I am purified in my bodily activities. I am one of those noble ones who are purified in their bodily activities when they resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. Seeing in myself this purity of bodily activities, I felt even more daunted about staying in the wilderness."
"The thought occurred to me, when priests or contemplatives who are unpurified in their verbal activities, unpurified in their mental activities, unpurified in their livelihood, resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. It's the fault of their unpurified livelihood that they give rise to unskilled fear and terror. But it's not the case that I am unpurified in my livelihood when I resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. I am purified in my livelihood. I am one of those noble ones who are purified in their livelihood when they resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. Seeing in myself this purity of livelihood, I felt even more undaunted about staying in the wilderness."
The thought occurred to me, when priests or contemplatives who are covetous and fiercely passionate for sensual pleasures, I am not covetous. When priests or contemplatives who have minds of ill will with destructive attitudes, I have a mind of good will. When priests or contemplatives who are overcome by sloth and drowsiness, I am devoid of sloth and drowsiness.
When priests or contemplatives who are restless and with an unstill mind, I have a still mind. When priests or contemplatives who are uncertain and doubting, I have gone beyond uncertainty. When priests or contemplatives who are given to praising themselves and disparaging others, I do not praise myself or disparage others. When priests or contemplatives who tend towards panic and dread, I have gone beyond horripilation.
When priests or contemplatives who are desirous of gains, offerings, and fame, I have few wants. When priests or contemplatives who are lazy and lacking in persistence, my persistence is aroused. When priests or contemplatives who are muddled in their mindfulness and unalert, I have mindfulness established. When priests or contemplatives who are unconcentrated with straying minds, I am consummate in concentration.
The thought occurred to me, when priests or contemplatives who are drooling idiots resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings, it's the fault of their drooling idiocy that give rise to unskilled fear and terror. But it's not the case that I am a drooling idiot. When I resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings, I am consummate in discernment. I am one of those noble ones who are consummate in discernment when they resort to isolated forest or wilderness dwellings. Seeing in myself this consummate discernment, I felt even more undaunted about staying in the wilderness.
The thought occurred to me, what if, on recognized designated nights such as the 8th, 14th, and 15th of the lunar fortnight, I were to stay in the sort of places that are awe-inspiring and make your hair stand on end, such as park shrines, forest shrines, and tree shrines? Perhaps I would get to see that fear and terror. So at a later time, on recognized designated nights such as the 8th, 14th, and 15th of the lunar fortnight, I stayed in the sort of places that are awe-inspiring and make your hair stand on end, such as park shrines, forest shrines, and tree shrines. And while I was staying there, a wild animal would come, or a bird would make a twig fall, or wind would rustle the falling leaves.
The thought would occur to me, is this that fear and terror coming? Then the thought occurred to me, why do I just keep waiting for fear? What if I were to subdue fear and terror in whatever state they come? So when fear and terror came while I was walking back and forth, I would not stand or sit or lie down. I would keep walking back and forth until I had subdued that fear and terror. When fear and terror came while I was standing, I would not walk or sit or lie down. I would keep standing until I had subdued that fear and terror. When fear and terror came while I was sitting, I would not lie down or stand up or walk. I would keep sitting until I had subdued that fear and terror. When fear and terror came while I was lying down, I would not sit up or stand or walk. I would keep lying down until I had subdued that fear and terror.
There are some priests and contemplatives, Brahman, who have the perception of day when it is night and of night when it is day. This, I tell you, is their being in a dwelling of delusion. As for me, I have the perception of day when it is day and of night when it is night. If anyone, when speaking rightly, were to say, a being not subject to delusion has appeared in the world for the benefit and happiness of many, out of sympathy for the world, for the welfare, benefit, and happiness of human and divine beings, he would rightly be speaking of me.
unflagging persistence was aroused in me, an unmuddled mindfulness established. My body was calm and unaroused, my mind concentrated and single. Quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskilled mental qualities, I entered and remained in the first jhana, a meditative state of profound stillness and concentration. Rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, accompanied by directed thought and evaluation. With the stilling of directed thoughts and evaluations, I entered and remained in the second jhana, rapture and pleasure born of composure, unification of awareness free from directed thought and evaluation, internal assurance.
With the fading of rapture, I remained in equanimity, mindful and alert, and physically sensitive of pleasure. I entered and remained in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare, equanimous and mindful, he has a pleasant abiding. With the abandoning of pleasure and pain, as with the earlier disappearance of elation and distress, I entered and remained in the fourth jhana, purity of equanimity and mindfulness, neither pleasure nor pain.
When the mind was thus concentrated, purified, bright, unblemished, rid of defilement, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, I directed it to the knowledge of recollecting my past lives. I recollected my manifold past lives, i.e. one birth, two, five, 10, 50, 100, 1,000, 100,000, many eons of cosmic contraction, many eons of cosmic expansion, many eons of cosmic contraction and expansion.
There I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance. Such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from that state, I rearose there. There too I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance. Such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from that state, I rearose here. Thus I remembered my manifold past lives in their modes and details.
This was the first knowledge I attained in the first watch of the night. Ignorance was destroyed. Knowledge arose. Darkness was destroyed. Light arose, as happens in one who is heedful, ardent, and resolute. When the mind was thus concentrated, purified, bright, unblemished, rid of defilement, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, I directed it to the knowledge of the passing away and reappearance of beings.
I saw, by means of the divine eye, purified and surpassing the human, beings passing away and reappearing, and I discerned how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma or retribution. These beings, who were endowed with bad conduct of body, speech, and mind, who reviled noble ones, held wrong views and undertook actions under the influence of wrong views, with the breakup of the body after death, have reappeared in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, the lower realms, in hell.
But these beings, who were endowed with good conduct of body, speech, and mind, who did not revile noble ones, who held right views and undertook actions under the influence of right views, with the breakup of the body after death, have reappeared in good destinations in the heavenly world. Thus, by means of the divine eye, purified and surpassing the human, I saw beings passing away and reappearing, and I discerned how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate in accordance with their karma or retribution.
This was the second knowledge I attained in the second watch of the night. Ignorance was destroyed. Knowledge arose. Darkness was destroyed. Light arose. As happens in one who is heedful, ardent, and resolute. When the mind was thus concentrated, purified, bright, unblemished, rid of defilement, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, I directed it to the knowledge of the ending of the mental fermentations.
I discerned, as it had come to be, that this is stress. This is the origination of stress. This is the cessation of stress. This is the way leading to the cessation of stress. These are fermentations. This is the origination of fermentations. This is the cessation of fermentations. This is the way leading to the cessation of fermentations. My heart, thus knowing, thus seeing, was released from the fermentation of sensuality, released from the fermentation of becoming, released from the fermentation of ignorance. With release, there was the knowledge released. I discerned that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There's nothing further for this world.
This was the third knowledge I attained in the third watch of the night. Ignorance was destroyed, knowledge arose. Darkness was destroyed, light arose. As happens in one who is heedful, ardent, and resolute. Now, Brahman, if the thought should occur to you, perhaps Gotama the contemplative is even today not free of passion, not free of aversion, not free of delusion, which is why he resorts to isolated forest and wilderness dwellings, it should not be seen in that way. It's through seeing two compelling reasons that I resort to isolated forest and wilderness dwellings, seeing a pleasant abiding for myself in the present and feeling sympathy for future generations.
How truly future generations have been shown sympathy by Master Gotama in the matter of one who is worthy and rightly self-awakened. Magnificent Master Gotama, magnificent. Just as if he were to place upright what was overturned, to reveal what was hidden, to show the way to one who was lost, or to carry a lamp into the dark so that those with eyes could see forms. In the same way has Master Gotama, through many lines of reasoning, made the Dhamma, or true teaching, clear. I go to Master Gotama for refuge, to the Dhamma, and to the Sangha, or community of monks. May Master Gotama remember me as a lay follower, who has gone to him for refuge, from this day forward for life.
We thank you for your company today for Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. Animal World, our co-inhabitants, is up next after noteworthy news. We wish you much love and kindness in the days ahead.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.